Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Aloma. This is program number 496. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. I have some great music for you. I've got letters. I've got some Bible reading, and I expound on the Word of God because the Bible says for me to do that. And that's why people are able to learn so quickly from this ministry. These are stair steps to the kingdom of heaven. Well, right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service, this broadcast, anoint everyone that has anything to do with it, Lord, so that there won't be any mistakes, so that everything that is said and done on this broadcast will be for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Lord, touch everyone, those that are sick. Lord, you know who they are, and they know who they are. You've already healed them. If they're Christians, if they believe in you, and they believe that your word, exactly as it said, you have healed them. By my stripes, you are healed. But still, they have to receive it. The only way they can receive it is by believing you, by having faith in you. Okay, so, Father, anoint everything that the souls of the world can be saved that hear this broadcast and the church strengthened. We have enemies surrounding us all over the world, Lord. And we ask that you rebuke the devil in them. Rebuke the devil, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because it's amazing that such a corrupt government, international government, could be investigating anyone. The general public has investigated them and found them weighed in the balances and found wanting, and Lord, they're beginning to see eye to eye with you. Lord God, we ask that you do all these things to save souls, and strengthen the church, and rebuke Satan everywhere. Destroy his evil works on the face of this planet, Lord. Destroy them, because you told us to pray that way. Raise up a standard, Lord, that will show people who the people of the Lord are and who are not. Lord, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to do some Christmas songs tonight. The very best people that I've ever heard sing this song, We Three Kings, are, believe it or not, the Beach Boys. I played, before I was saved, I played on different concerts with them. I had a hit record. And Glenn Campbell was singing with them the night that I did the a gig with them in Omaha, Nebraska. And I know the Beach Boys, and they really are, to me, they seem like very nice guys. I didn't have much to do with them, but since I've been saved, I just couldn't believe that I heard this. We were going through different Christmas songs. So I believe that you'll enjoy this very much. We Three Kings by the Beach Boys.
We traverse far, feet.
I bet a lot of church choirs and quartets and quintets would like to sound that good. Amen?
Amen.
Some people, you know, that don't know music, but I've worked with the top producers and directors in the world, and still do to this very day. I've worked with Billy Strange, who is the string director for Frank Sinatra and many other big stars, and Ernie Freeman, who did a lot of the Vic Damone things, and Joe Leahy, who did most of the stuff for Pat Boone, and H.B. Barnum, who is here this evening. And we'll be here for the next 3 days. He is the director of music in our Los Angeles church. And in the church here, he's here this evening, and we'll be here till Tuesday. And Gary Paxton, who has done a lot of the records for the Four Freshmen and many other. There's so many stars. So some of the stars that HB is still directing is Aretha Franklin. And who are some of the others, huh? Can't remember them all.
Mariah Carey, Celine Dion,
Tony Bennett, and so on. And so I've worked with the best. I cannot work with people that don't know. And if people don't have a musical ear and they just look at me, you know, like they know what they're doing. And I know, I'm very strong in the spiritual realm. And it doesn't make any difference if they're saved or if they're not saved. If they're good, they're good. All right, and it doesn't make it, people judge them. You don't know whether they got saved or not, and I don't either. I know that the Lord has been working on those guys for a long time, and I can tell that I've compared
this song with many other singers is supposed to be saved ones, and they are, they excel them head and shoulders over everyone else's arrangement on this. And the sound is fabulous. I just love the way that they do that. We have some letters this evening. Where's the first one from?
From Grosbeck, Texas.
Okay, what do they have to say?
This is from a prison chaplain. He says, to the Tony Lamo Ministries, I am writing this letter in response to the recent order of newsletters which you sent us recently. I would like to take this time to thank you on behalf of all the inmates of this unit who really appreciate and enjoy reading your literature. I would also like to thank you for helping us in distributing the Word of God to the men here. Through the contributions that you and others like you make, we are making a big difference.
There's no other like me. Get out of here. Okay, anyone else?
We are making a big difference in the way these inmates look at their lives after reading some of the material which you have provided for them. I would like to end this letter by saying thank you once again, and may God bless you. Sincerely, Chaplain William from Grosbeck, Texas.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chaplain, but I just don't know anybody else that is preaching like me. Do you, anybody?
No.
Okay, well, they're not. If you can, if you find somebody, man, I'll help support them for sure, okay? I'll send them some finances and Bibles and books. So there's a lot of people now that have been saved through this ministry that are distributing this message, these messages that the Lord gives me. And so I'm not, I exclude those on my list, but there's just nobody else other than the people of this ministry that are distributing my literature that I know of, okay? So what else?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa. Says, Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the first time I am writing you, and I believe you will receive this letter with love and joy in the Holy Spirit. Through the providence of God, I happened to read a piece of your literature at my friend's house, and I was moved by it. I immediately surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Pastor, please kindly send me a Holy Bible, the Messiah book, and more of your literature. I am now saved, and I want to remain saved until I meet Jesus in eternity. I remain yours faithfully, O Gloria, from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. I was mentioning the other day in one of my messages that a lot of people are led astray. They go astray because of the examples of other people. There's so many people in churches that lead people astray, such as, you know, witnessing crews, because there's different people, they want to go shopping on the witnessing crew, or they don't want to be out there. And it would be better that all the entire world would be to see you than God, who has the, who's the one that people think that they're doing wrong to. They're doing wrong to him because they're not helping appropriate the body of Christ by their sin that you or anyone else does. Therefore, concerned in justice to do himself right upon you, God cannot let any sin go unpunished. So if you think that you're sinning, if you are sinning and you think that you're not being seen with it, you're wrong. And there's a lot of people, my God, it's just like everyone's calling in with cancer and leukemia and just so many different diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses, and it's just amazing that they may sound, try to sound righteous, but there's something wrong in their lives. And it's just sad that they don't read the Bible to examine themselves with the Word of God, because the Bible points fingers at all the wrongs that are in your life. And if your conscience is seared to the point to where you, you don't get convicted of your sins any longer, well, you're in bad shape. The conscience seared means that you're definitely going to hell, because the Lord has sealed you up for your sin, because he's reproved you, rebuked you on many occasions, maybe by his Spirit or by the Spirit on a prophet or an apostle. And the Lord is the righteous judge. Because he is the righteous judge, he has the right because he's the one that made you and every other stinking body out of the dirt of the ground. Now you take the government, they do investigations on churches. Can you believe that? When they say one mouth, one of their tongues, you know, the Satan's got a forked tongue. He says in 1 minute, he says there's a separation between church and state. And you people stay out of government. And so we that are in the church, we say you stay out of the church. Because if there is, the Constitution says that there's a separation between church and state. The Constitution doesn't say that, but it does say, and God doesn't say that either. He states that people are not to have any unsaved people over them. And now the government is doing investigations of all people, the biggest hypocrites on the face of this earth, the most evil, rotten, defiled people on the earth that are doing investigations on people that are winning souls and keeping God's commandments. Now, if anyone should be investigated, it is them. Now, the general public knows what they're doing, and, you know, they're aware of it. And that's exactly what the government wants everybody to do, is to start a civil war. Because they know that the government is so evil that they just can't believe it. And finally, people are waking up, but I believe that they've woke up too late. That is, unless they want to become a Christian. If they want to become a Christian, well, then the Lord will save them from the clutches of the wicked. You know, these people are so evil. I remember when I was on a boat called the Saul Olympia headed for Israel. And I was standing, it was early in the morning, I was standing out on the deck, hanging on to the railing there and looking at the sea and the length, the depth of the sea and everything. I've never been out to sea before except on the Queen Elizabeth, the QE2. And this person came up and started talking to me. He was an elderly gentleman, and he had a long top coat on. And we started talking, and he asked me what I do, and I told him I was the pastor. And I said, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm with the United Nations." And I said, "Oh, yeah." He says, "You know, we've been trying for many years to bring about peace in the Middle East." And I said, "Well, it'd be very easy for you to do if you knew what the Bible said." I said, "God gave that land to the Jews, and he never said he was going to take it away from them. He sent them away from Israel, but he said that in the last days he'd bring them back. And that is exactly what he's done." So he never said that when he sends them out that that will be the end of their ownership of Israel, but that Israel is called Israel, not Palestine. And then you've got a lot of Bibles that call it Palestine, but there's people that have taken certain parts of the Bible, such as the name of Israel, and done things to it like that, like William Shakespeare and all kinds of other people have gotten their unsaved noses into the Bible and done a little bit number on it. But it's, we have the right version of it. We know exactly what it is because we're led by the Lord. But there are some sins which require more immediate hand of divine vengeance that other, and therefore call, quote, crying sins. And they are such which either by the place and power of the offender, man does not punish, or else so secretly committed that man cannot take cognizance of the fact, such as Cain's bloody murder of his brother. Did it in private. But the Lord said to him, quote, "Thy brother's blood crieth," Genesis 4:10. So this man on the deck was telling me, he says, "Well, that was a long time ago, Tony, when God gave Israel to the Jews. So this is many years later, so it doesn't stand anymore." I said, when God does something, it stands forever. And you're going to find that out. And he really started getting angry at me, and I started getting angry back at him. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. If you people in the United Nations, if you people don't believe the gospel, you're the one that's going to be hurt by it. You think you're hurting God, but God has got it made in the kingdom of heaven. And you don't. And there's only two places to go after your spirit leaves your body. One is if you do right and do what the Lord tells you to do, keep his commandments, with a single heart. A single heart, you're just one. The Bible states that we are one in Christ Jesus. There's a woman is in Christ Jesus, she's one. A man that's in Christ Jesus is one. You're one with him. You're part of his body. And if somebody stamps on one of your little fingers or your toes, your whole body suffers. And I will not let anyone get by with any fallacy about the Bible or who the land of Israel belongs to. It belongs to the Jews. Now, the Jews, they're really kind people. You know, they'll let anyone live there, but they don't want you to say you're going to drive them into the ocean and destroy their souls, because you're not going to do that. God said so. And so, you know, people have to stand up for the Word of God more than they do these United Nations people, which are actually the international government. It's like they're trying to, you know, pigeonhole everything instead of there being flexibility in what in keeping the commandments of the Lord, doing what the Lord says. They won't allow that. So thy brother's blood crieth, that's Genesis 4:10. Number two, the word will inform you of an informer that you have in your own soul. What is the informer in your own soul? It's your conscience, amen? Because your conscience will tell on you. It's your conscience. And that is, in fact, your conscience, I mean, which goes along with you no matter where you go. Now, you may say, I'm going to leave a church that really puts the finger on me and says, calls an ace and a spade a spade. But you can run to wherever you want to go, to Tulare, California, or to Berlin, or to London, and that conscience is going to be right there with you. Amen?
Amen.
And the curse of God is going to be there with you as well. You can't get rid of the conscience. It goes wherever you go and is witness to all of your fine laid out thoughts and plans, and what it sees, it writes down. For it is a court of record. God keeps record in your conscience. It's a book. Your conscience is a book. You cannot sin so fast that it can't write it down as fast after you. The faster you sin, the faster it writes your sins down. You may close your eyes, but it's being written down while you're closing your eyes. And the pen with which conscience writes down our sins has a sharper bite. It cuts deep into the very heart and soul of the sinner. The heathen, their thoughts are said to accuse them. That's Romans 2:15. Anybody can get that real fast? Romans 2:15.
Yeah.
You got to read it then.
Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another.
Accusing. If you've got a clear conscience, you're excused. Amen? But if you don't, if you're sinning in the back room or wherever you're sinning, and even in front of the brothers and sisters or the whole world. You know, if you don't have a conscience, it won't bother you. You'll just blink your eyes and say, "What? What have I done?" You live with that. And no torment in the entire world is comparable to an accusing conscience. If you have a conscience, if it's not seared. Quote, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Proverbs 18:14. Who, I ask? Not men, not angels. No eye affrights a sinner more than his own. It is that which he most desires to turn from, but he cannot. That's the least thing that you can turn from. You may try to keep yourself busy all day, listening to music or listening to some other thing, or getting involved with sports or video games or whatever you do. But the minute you turn that video game off, and if you start calling out to the Lord, your conscience is going to tell you that you can't reach the Lord because you're a sinner. There's a separation between God and souls, sinners, that you can't pass. There's a big wall of separation that comes down between you and God, and myself and God if I were a sinner. Such a poor wretch is like Regulus in his barrel, stuck with nails, which way soever he turns himself, he's going to get stuck, no matter which way he turns. He is pricked, stuck, wounded. Read those sad instances of Cain, Saul, and Judas with others upon scripture record, who have been on this rack, and you will be afraid to sin where conscience stands by and watches you and records you. And number three, what we need to do is read the Word. In other words, consult with the Word. I mean, you've got the greatest attorney in the whole world. You know, people call attorneys to find out what advice, should I do this or should I do that, or they call pastors up all the time. I get calls all the time. Did I do the right thing? I said, why didn't you ask me before you did it? Consult the Word, and you will find that God usually has put them to shame in this world that have promised themselves most secrecy in their sinning. In other words, people that are sinning, they promise, oh God, nobody's going to see me. But the faster you sin, the faster it's written down in your conscience, and you can't get away from it. It's impossible. It's impossible for a baby not to cry. It's just impossible. And it's impossible for you to sin without your conscience plaguing you with it on a continual basis. You have to confess your sins, the Bible says, amen?
Amen.
And repent, if you can, as quickly as possible. It is one of God's means to be a revelator of secrets. Daniel 2:47. Could anybody find that fast? Daniel 2:47. You can also look up 1 Corinthians 4:5, because I'm coming up to that next. Okay, do you have it?
Yes.
Read it.
Daniel 2:47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret."
You know, Daniel was so close to the Lord because he didn't have a conscience that was accusing him. He had given his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord, and God was able to use him. He's not going to give that power to anybody that is a weasel. And among all their secrets, he forgets not to, quote, bring to light these, quote, hidden things of darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5.
Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Yeah, if you did well. But if you think that you can just raise hell in the church and discourage everybody from witnessing or doing whatever they want to do and just do the rotten, filthy things that discourage people from witnessing, you're sadly mistaken. Now, a lot of people think they're getting even with me because they don't like the way that I pinpoint in the categories, categorically, if you will, the things that they do. Some people just hate that. That's why they're doing investigations on me, the media, because I've exposed that this is an international government run by Rome. And so they say, get him. Now they're actually, they left a message to all the media, do not say anything good about him or bad. And they did that for years. Now everything is opening up because I'm really exposing them so much that I got a call from the Daily News in New York City the other day. Another one came here and he's asking the people in the church, does Tony think he's God? Does he say he's God? Everybody in the world, they don't realize how many hundreds of millions of pieces of literature that I've handed out. And people are eager to get those messages. And they know that the government is doing the things to me, and not only me, other people as well. And that's what the Lord said. Get your message out and they will not destroy you. But if you don't put the message out, they will destroy you. So people know that I'm not a cult because I'm preaching right from the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
People know that I don't say I'm God. The Pope says that. But why don't they go after them if they're so concerned about people running a cult? A cult leader is one that says he's God. That's the Pope, folks. Amen?
Amen.
That isn't me. I'm just a humble servant of the Lord and proud to be so.
Amen.
All right? You want to see a cult leader? Go to Rome. See if you can get an audience with the Pope so he can, kiss his ring and toes and whatever else he wants you to kiss. Okay? I'm just getting caught up about this Pope business over here. Okay, there are sins that are forged in darker shop. I mean, people have their little sin shops. And they sin so much that they forget that they're about what they're doing because they're conscience-seared, and they'll go out in front of a whole bunch of people that are Christians and sin right in front of them because they're so far gone. They're sins that are forged in a darker shop than others, and that often in this world. Indeed, the attribute of his omnificence suffers deeply by their secret sins. And these men speak what base thoughts they have of God as if he were a god of the day and a god, and that he wasn't a god at the night as well. God sees as well at nighttime as he does during the day. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, to vindicate his attribute and to strike an inward fear thereof into the hearts of men, he does dig these foxes out of their holes where they earth themselves and expose their sins to the view of the entire world, which they thought that nobody should ever have known besides themselves and their patron, Satan, in the sin. Such an effect had the discovery of Ananias and Sapphira's secret. They did something secret too. And yet people think that they can sin secretly and say that we're Christians and lie to the Holy Spirit. The great fear came upon all the church after they had seen what God had done to those two, and upon as many as heard these things. Unquote. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Somebody read it. God struck both of them dead. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Their consciences were seared. But then when these secrets were known to Peter, because the Lord revealed it to him, the man dropped dead. And they wrapped him up, and then his wife came up and said, go ahead, read.
And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
Right, because then the wife came in, and Peter asked her if she knew about these things. Did they see you sell the property for so much? She said, yes. And why did you say that you had given everything that you had to the church? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and so they dropped dead, and the church became fearful. See, therefore, how God has befooled men. He fooled men when they have done these things in an artful way. The most in packing their sins to hide them from the world's eye. But God saw it. Amen?
Amen.
God sees every time you do something. And I, myself, I know that I sense God around me all the time. So we'll go now to Matthew. Where are we in Matthew chapter 5?
Verse 22.
Okay, go ahead.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause.
No, in other words, that doesn't mean you can't be angry with your brother. But you just can't be angry with them without a cause. You're angry with somebody, and if you think it's a cause to be angry with them because they expose you, well, then you're as much of a weasel as the devil is. Then what?
Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison.
All right. Now, just because you think that you have the right to sin doesn't mean that you're going to get excused for it, that you're going to get away with it. Adam, indeed, said the woman that you gave him, that you gave me, gave him the piece of fruit. She gave him a piece of fruit. He didn't have to eat it, but it did not excuse him from the judgment, being judged with her. In other words, he was reckoned with her. He had to get kicked out of the Garden of Eden right with her. Now, it was her example. he followed her example. You're not supposed to follow the people's example, whether it's husband, wife, or anybody else, are you?
No.
Hmm. She indeed was the first one in the transgression, in the sin, yet both met in the same punishment. He followed her example instead of the Lord's example. Would you eat poison because another dares be so bold to be your taster? In other words, if you saw somebody boldly eating poison, would you eat some too? Huh?
No.
Why?
Tell you.
No, because the Lord said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And you shouldn't eat poison or jump off of a cliff, right?
Right.
And one of them said, well, because you'd die too, yeah. But it's worse to, not so much bad to die, but it's bad to go to hell for disobeying the Lord. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. That's a commandment, all right? If he said, it tastes good, the poison, would you taste it?
No.
Why?
You go to hell.
No, you said the same thing. No, because the Lord said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You break a commandment, and then, of course, you go to hell. You die immediately. The poison would kill you. And yes, you broke the commandment, and the Lord, you could cry out to the Lord all night long. And if you die, that's it. You cry out eternally. Surely this example cannot make the poison less deadly, can it?
No.
Can it make it less deadly to you that pledge him, or that you pledge, or you follow? The word will tell you that even the best of saints do not always walk in the right way. But too often, they are found to tread or fall away. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that many shall fall away in the last ages before Jesus comes back to earth again. Quote, in many things we offend all. That's James 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Many things we offend. He that is himself subject to step away, or if you want to call it stepping away, or fall away, may also lead you astray or aside. Therefore, Paul, as holy a man as ever lived, when he called others after him by saying, follow me, would have them follow him with their eyes open to see whether he followed Christ or not. Quote, be ye followers of me, Paul said, even as I am also of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. The holiest life of the best saint on earth. If he doesn't follow the word of God, is but an imperfect translation of the perfect word of God, the perfect rule of holiness. If you are not 100% for winning souls, you're a nothing. And if you can't carry a cross and deny yourself, you're a nothing. Because this is the first commandments that the Lord tells you to do after you're saved. You haven't gotten stronger in the word of God. You get weaker as time goes by. And the Bible tells us that we should become more powerful, stronger as we advance in years in the Lord. This is why we must be filled with the word, in the word, and therefore must be tried by the word. The Lord puts us through trials. He sends people out on the streets. to witness and testify to win souls, because they're concerned about people going to hell. If they really believed that hell was that bad as it is, Jesus showed us how bad hell was by having to die on the cross to give us an opportunity to stay out of hell. And if people are not that concerned about winning souls, then they don't care if people go to hell, and so therefore they don't have any mercy in them. And God is not going to have any mercy for you when you cry out. And you think you won't cry out because somehow, down through the years, Satan has told you that you're holy and that you're perfect, and you're not. Paul stated that I must preach this word. I must go. I must be a person that is not only just saying a few words without any empathy behind them, but making it sure that the people get the word of God written on their heart, written in their conscience. Because the people that don't preach that way, they don't have it on their conscience, and they're not going to win a soul anyway, and that's why they want to not go out. Therefore, it's the character of sincerity to look to the way rather than the company. Look in the Word of God to see what sin is and what sincerity is, rather than self, to just know itself is, my flesh is too cold, my feet hurt. It's like being like the bulk of people or part of the big crowd. Quote, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Proverbs 16:17. What a person like that does is he consults with the Word, with God, the Word, whether the way be good or evil. If he first finds it evil, then he will not go into it to bear another company, another crowd. He won't go another way. No. Though he be a saint, he won't go. Indeed, God suffers, or he allows some to step away, to fall away. He allows some of them to just plain fall away, to prove to others that people do fall away. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have it. In his word, it says, I'll blot their names out of the Lamb's book of life. I'll spit you out of my body. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, heresies come. Quote, that they who are approved may be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Deuteronomy 13:1 states, quote, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet, for the Lord, your God, proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, unquote. Thus, I've given a few examples by which you see how this word, or this sort of the word, which is the word of God, is that in the cherub's hand, may be turned every which way to preserve the Christian from venturing to sin upon any pretense, whatever it be. So we're to hide the word in our hearts for our defense against temptation to sin. The Bible says we're to hide the word in our hearts. So this is another example or direction, which would be about the third one, or fourth one, I believe. Hide the word in thy heart. This was David's preservation. His preservation was, quote, Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 19:11. Okay, so you hide the word in your heart so that you won't sin against God. Anyone that hasn't got the word hid in their hearts, they're nothing. It was not the Bible in his hands. He says, well, I got the Bible here. A lot of people say that. But to read it. He wasn't counting on just carrying a Bible with him to read it when temptation came, except the one time. It was not the word in his tongue to speak of it, nor in his head to get a notional knowledge. It's just a notion of it, but the hiding in his heart. That's how he was able to get he found effectual power against sin. In other words, he had to not have it in his hand or in his mouth, but in his heart. He had to hide the word of God in his heart. And I see that my time is up right now. I'd sure like to go on because I've taped this before. I've written it down. And I'd like to tell the rest of it because it's so very good. You need to hear it, so make sure you tune in tomorrow. Right now is the time for salvation, so say this prayer if you want to be saved, and hide the Lord in your heart. Hide the word, the Lord, in your heart. Because, you know, if you get into trouble and you got a Bible in your hand, you're not going to be able to find the place where you're supposed to be, you filth. You have to have it hidden in your heart so it comes up immediately like a river flowing down from heaven, like a fountain coming up from your belly. Say this prayer to the Lord. Say it because you're not doing God a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. And you say, well, we don't like the way you preach. Listen, I preach the same way the Lord did, okay? If you don't like the way I preach, you don't like the Lord. If you don't like the Lord, that's no skin off his nose or mine. It's off yours. So say, yes, there's rough and tumble. That's right. Get thee hence, Satan, the Lord says. Okay, now open up your heart and say, Lord, oh Lord God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. So just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and Sharon will tell you how to receive a copy of this program, number 496.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from God. Right now we have O Holy Night by Il Divo. Beautiful.
Appeared, and the soul felt its worth. and glory.